In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I want you to think about the gospel that we have just prayed in the sense of, if you were going to write a synopsis of what you have just heard, what would it be? You see, I believe what the Lord is trying to tell us here is the meaning of life and death. It's not that it happened to Mary and Martha. And by the way, do you women, are you picking up on this, Jasmine? It's Mary and Martha that is mentioned. Mary and Martha, not Lazarus. Lazarus became the bishop, by the way. After he rose from the dead, his troubles magnified. Was raised from the dead, I should have said. And he became a bishop. Well, but the point is that apart from these individuals that populate the narrative that we've just heard, it's really about the Lord, who, if you understand who he is, will change your whole relationship to life itself. I have been in Egypt and I have seen things that were described by St. John Chrysostom in his homily about this. Women pulling their hair, women scratching their arms or their face or throwing dirt on themselves or tearing their clothes. St. John Chrysostom goes on to say, what is that but adding fuel to the fire of all of the accusations that the Greeks make against our faith? They say, you believe in him? You believe that he was resurrected from the dead? And by his death, he has trampled upon death? And so that those who are in the tombs were given life, and you carry on in this fashion? You throw yourself on the ground? And I've seen this in Egypt. I haven't seen it in America. I've seen people wail. And the Lord, even in that, he's saying, I want to show you how to properly mourn. I want to show you how to be sad. I've said this to you before. My wife related this story to me. She was in Egypt. And you know, in Egypt, sometimes they close down a street when somebody has died, and they put up giant rugs, and it's kind of like a little fortress that they make, and people come in, and there is some holy person, or pretending to be a holy person, and the family and people come in to give their condolences. And at this particular time, they were seated in an apartment above where this outdoor place had been, and you know, the men were in one room smoking and the other women were in another room drinking, you know, tea without sugar. And a woman came in through the door wailing. And she sat down by the other women, and the women were comforting her. And then she looked over at the women. She said, who died? Who died? There are kinds of people that carry inside themselves, mental problems. They have psychological deficits. There's something wrong with them. And they use the mourning of somebody else's bereavement to add it as though it were a chorus. We say, Nimep Choros Kirf, and all the choir. Well, sometimes, and why is this the province of women? Why is it that you don't see men throwing themselves on the ground, covering their head with dust, scraping with their fingernails their face or their arms, or tearing their clothes? Why is it women that do that? Why? Who gives a woman permission to do such things? Not the Lord. And St. John Chrysostom is rebuking all of the women. He goes on for a page and a half. out of 11 pages of the explication of the homily, a page and a half just to this one subject. Because he says, here is the way that you do it. And he looks at Mary and Martha. Now, when they came, the women were weeping. But when they saw Jesus Christ, what was their reaction? They fell at his feet and venerated him. I won't say worshipped. They venerated him. Because at the time, they didn't really realize that he was God. Now, you know the story of the centurion who had someone that was ill, that the centurion loved very much. And he asked the Lord, Lord, it's not fit, it's not meet, it's not right for you to come under the roof of my house. You don't have to come to my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. You see the faith of the centurion, and the Lord said that too. He said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. But this is the difference between that centurion and these people. Now, they came to him and they wanted, Lord, if you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. Well, if he is Lord of life and of death, it doesn't matter where he is. Now, today, with us, contemporarily, we know he sits on the throne of his glory. But because he's not proximal to us, he is still here with us as he promised. So it's not because this. You see the tenuousness of their faith? It's drawn out thin. You know, grief affects us all, but the Lord himself, when he looked at Lazarus, and some say looking at Lazarus, Lazarus in this moment was symbolizing all of mankind. And the Lord groaned in his spirit. Now there's a special word in Greek that is used for this. And it's a disruption between the unity of his humanity and his divinity. And in this disruption, there was a shudder. Like, this is my creation, and you were not made for this. And I must do something about this. Pointing to his crucifixion. I must do something about this. So he groaned in his spirit, mentioned twice. And St. John Chrysostom, again in his homily, he mentions this word in Greek that describes what I have just expressed. And then it says, Jesus wept. It didn't say he howled. It didn't say he wailed. It didn't say he fell to his knees. He did not beat his chest. He wept. He wept gently. He wept sincerely. And this is proper. This is proper. When I first went to Egypt, the first time in 1981, I left my wife, who at the time I loved. I left my son and daughter, who at the time I loved. I cried at the airport. I was the one who was going. I was going to have a good time in Egypt. I was going with my dear friend who became Abuna Shenoura Khathas. We were going to go have a good time. We were going to see everybody, do everything, talk to the Pope, go to the monasteries. We were going to have a great time. And I wanted to go. But I wept. I wept because I'm leaving the people that I love. That's proper. I didn't continue sobbing all the way to Egypt on the airplane, by the way. I wept, got on the plane, had a drink, went to sleep. Which is the way I fly. So, I tell you this because if God is God, then we know he's going to take care of everyone that he has called his own. And who is it he has not called his own? Who is it that he is not begging for? You know, opening himself up waiting for the return of the embrace. Because on the cross, he held out his arms to give everyone a hug. Everyone. There's some who pass by. There's some who, as the Jews did on this date, cast allegations to him. Oh, you're God? Come down from the cross and we'll believe. They said all manner of things were insulting. So, I tell you, it's our return to him that is just what he is waiting for. But he is the God of life. And he has given us the chance to be with him, to live life in the most glorious way. Now, there you see in this also the weakness of Thomas. Thomas blurted out, because Thomas was frightened. You know, the line said, you're going to go to Judea again? Master, wasn't that the place where the Jews sought to stone you? You're going there again? And then he said to them, walk while you have the light. And what is it that we have? What is it that we have to account for? Nothing. We've done nothing amiss. Everything that we have done has been good. And we are not going to confront the Jews. We're going there to see our friend Lazarus. The fear did not allay itself from Thomas. He was still filled with anxiety. But like a lot of people will do when they have fear, they will blurt out something that is just the opposite. Let us go and die with him. Doesn't that sound strong? Doesn't that sound like, you know, the most brave thing one could say in that moment? Let us go and die with him. Jesus didn't rebuke him. He didn't correct him, because he knew that after the resurrection, what Thomas was going to do, he did more and went to the most violent places in the known world. He went all the way to India. And if you take a look at a map where the Middle East is, and then look where India is, and you have to cross a certain number of barriers, like huge deserts and mountains, and all the way to lose his life. The bravery of Thomas after the resurrection, when he confessed face to face with his Maker, you are my Lord, you are my God. That was it. That was the confirmation. For us who say that, when we use the word Lord, it's a really dangerous word. You don't think it is, because you say it so frequently, but you're not thinking about what you're saying. When you say that Jesus is Lord, you're saying, the life that you sacrificed on the cross for me, now I, in confirmation of my acceptance, I offer you my life in return. And that means we live for the Lord. We live in the way that is the most acceptable and pleasing as he has taught us. See, it's hard. Some people count when you have a situation of a death that occurs dramatically. Why did this happen this way? Something must be wrong. What's wrong? This person died in these circumstances. Why did this person die like this? Why wasn't he in a bed, surrounded by all the people who loved him, had a chance to say all the goodbyes, had confessed completely, was communed, And then he fell into a sleep and died. That's the way we should all go, right? But that's not the way some of us depart. And it's not because we depart in a different way that all of the things that we trust about Jesus Christ are not true and are not the same for each one of the souls, though we perish in different circumstances. You think about that poor child, Abanum, that we talked about today. Abba means what? Father, in most cases. And Noob means what? Gold. Gold. That's what his name means. His name is Noob. It's Ne, Omicron, Epsilon, Beta. We look like Noob, but it's Noob. Abba Noob. Tishurian Noob. You say the golden censer, new gold. How this little boy died. What a horrible way. I have my grandson whom I love sometimes. And it would break me if I saw him being hanged upside down on a ship's mast. It would break me if I saw him tortured. It would break me. I would not be the same. Right? It would... Just like when a great sickness, I'm hoping, I don't want to overspeak, as I just mentioned Thomas did. Thomas was very much afraid, and he said what he said. I hope that in breaking me, it would not cause me to lose my faith. Breaking is different. I'm talking about, you know, when you break a bone, it heals. But at the time, it's nonetheless broken, and you are for that time during which you heal, you are enfeebled. You have difficulty. That's what would happen, I believe, if I saw this. But from the Lord's perspective, you know, death is just death. It's the removal from one state of being and to another state of being. But the being, the soul and the spirit bound together, they do not separate. And it is only the physical that is left behind. But you go from being to being. It takes a while. You are on the road, all of you. You are in different places on the road, and you are trying to grow in your faith. I told you about the great rabbi, Joseph Soloveitchik, who said that all Jews are Orthodox. Some are just at the beginning, and some are near the end. So we are all Orthodox, but some of us in our faith are still beginning. But we're on the road. So if you persist and keep on the road, you will learn everything and internalize everything. And you will be rewarded in your faith, as were Mary and Martha and Lazarus and all of the Jews who witnessed this great miracle. Glory be to God forever. Amen.